Good morning, old friends and new. Welcome to our time of worship and fellowship together. And if you have an announcement, we're going to do that right away this morning, so come forward and share that, please.
This coming Saturday is the Oregon Mennonite Festival for World Relief, sometimes called Fall Festival, sometimes called the MCC Sale. And about a month ago, all literature boxes here were given one of these brochures with lots of information about them, about the event. There's also a few of these on the table back there, too, as well as on the bulletin board. But if you haven't been there for a while or never been there, it's a fun day. There's lots of shops to explore, world gifts. There's a country store, and you can see some of the things that will be sold in the country store out here. Marta's house, lots of materials for quilters. There's lots of baked goods. There's used books. Then there's live auction, things that are happening. So breakfast is served 7:30 to 9:30. Shops open at 8. The live auction starts at 10 o'clock. And the whole thing's over at 2 o'clock. So you don't want to wait too long to get there. You'll miss it. But again, check out this if you want more information about it. But I invite all of you to come.
If you have been following events of the world recently, earthquakes, tsunamis, numerous wars, political strife both here and in other parts of the world, it feels necessary to come together this morning as a group and build each other up. We here at Zion are a pretty homogeneous group. We're a lot of extended family, and when we talk about World Communion Sunday, the church's union around the world, we may have to stretch our imaginations a bit to feel unity with every tribe and every tongue and every nation of the world. It takes a long time to have real, deep, caring friendship with someone. And if that someone has had a life very different than ours, it's even more difficult. Dorothy and I have discovered this in our teaching of ESL classes here on Tuesday evenings. We teach English to our students, but we are still learning, after more than 5 years, about different cultures just among our students of Mexican origin. The complicated life of being illegal and trying to live in our culture, where you may be despised by some of the people and loved by others. We're still learning about recognizing our white privilege, about the truths of what it means to get in line in our immigration system, about another group, our friends from the South, who now might be the ones that we call the quiet in the land, and who often put us to shame when we talk about simple living. My prayer for this morning is that we can think about today's theme, our union with Christ, and every tribe, tongue, and nation around the world, and how we, both individually and a congregation, can do better. Would you open your hymnal worship book to number 855, and we'll read this together in unison. Number 855. Together. Have this mind among yourselves, which you have in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's sing together.
I'd invite you to stand and join with me as we worship in song this morning.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I worship Your holy name. You're rich in love and You're slow to anger. Your name is great and Your heart is kind. For all Your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I worship Your holy name. And on that day when my strength failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I worship Your holy name. I'll worship Your holy name. I'll worship Your holy name. As the for the water, so my soul longeth after Thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship Thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. To You alone may my spirit. More than anything, You are.
Please turn in the blue hymnal to number 166. 166.
Ushers, would you come forward for the offering? Let's pray. Dear God, we pray that these tithes and offerings that are given today will be used for the service of your kingdom. We pray for a spirit of generosity and caring, for a better understanding of what it means to live simply, so that we can simply live. Amen. Children, would you go around and collect coins and then come up here for the story, please?
count.
My coins count.
Sitting in my pocket when they could be doing good. My coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count.
We can make a difference in the world. If we look around, there are people that we see all around the world. Needing food or water or a chance to live in peace. We can make a difference in the world because my coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count. Sitting in my pocket when they could be doing good. My coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count. We can make a difference in the world. The gifts we are given to be shared all around the world. It doesn't matter if they're big or small, when you prepare. We can make a difference in the world because my coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count. Sitting in my pocket when they could be doing good. My coins count. We can make a difference in the together. There's a lot we can achieve all around the world. Witnessing to others that we live what we believe. We can make a difference in the world because my coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count.
Sitting in my pocket when they could be doing good. My coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count. We can make a difference in the world because my coins count.
My coins count.
Sitting in my pocket when they could be doing good. My coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count. We can make a difference in the world.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Is this on? Yeah, good. Thank you all of us for all of you for helping us with the collection there for My Coins Count. And if I understand right, then that's going to go for the Fall Festival sale next week. So we'll hear what all you collected over the year. Now, hey, everyone, let's get, if you're paying attention, look at me, please, okay? I have two assignments for you, two jobs for you. And the first job is for you to move around so that you can see the screen. I want you to sit in such a place, in such a way that you can see the screen. So you might need to move over. If you're over towards this side, you might want to move in this direction. Everybody? You need to move over so that you can see the screen, because we're going to see some pictures up there. And if you can't see them, and that's the first one that we're going to see. You see the girl on the very, your left of the picture there? And then some of the other children here, there's her younger sister to the right. Do you notice anything about her younger sister to the right, what she's doing in this picture? She's got her little baby brother tied to her back with a cloth. They call that a bambu fani. And she spends a part of the day walking around with her brother on her back, taking care of him. This picture is from the town of Oradara in the country of Burkina Faso. And Don and Kelly Yoder and I are going to be going there next month to help the church celebrate 40 years of life. And these are some of the children in the church in Oradara. And let's see, I don't remember their names, so we'll say that the girl over to the left is, we'll call her Aminata. Can you say that? Aminata. Aminata. And then we'll say this little girl with her brother on her back is Hawa. Can you say Hawa? Hawa, that would be her name. I don't know what the others are. When I went there and met these children 7 years ago and visited with them, I took pictures from the church I was serving from children your age that they had drawn, pictures of things in their lives, and I gave them to the children in the Oradada church. And they sent some pictures back with me for children here. So let's get the next picture. Something important in the life of, and you see the name on top there? Her first name is Lacina, and her last name is Barro. And can you see some of the things that are important in her life? Anything you recognize? Like what? Well, it's not actually a goose. It's a guinea fowl, or like a chicken. Something else that you recognize, kids, that is important in the life of Lacina Barro? Anyone, kids? You see any flowers there?
Yes.
Yeah, they really like flowers. Next picture. Yeah. What's important? Oh, this one, Lucy. This one is, do we have anybody here named Lucy? Yeah. So Lucy Jara drew pictures of things, and she gave me the names in French, like a hut. You see her hut in her house? A baobab tree in the middle. Let's see, a green mango at the bottom. And the mortar with the pestle that she grinds grain in every morning. So these are things that are important in her life. Next picture, please. And this is from Honorine, another girl, Honorine Huedrago. And she drew a picture of her church. Now read what she wrote here. A great church, our great church. She is called the Evangelical Mennonites of Orodara. And she wrote over there on the church building, it says in English, God is wonderful. So these are the important things in Honorine's life. Okay, next picture, please. Do you recognize anything that, let's see, who's the person here? That is Rosaline Traore, another young woman. What do you see there? An elephant. They do have some elephants there. And then a tree next to it. And then what else do you see in that picture that's important to her? What? A dolphin. It looks like a dolphin. You're right. What she wrote there is the water and everything that it has. And they don't really have dolphins there, so it's probably a fish jumping in the water there. And she also, do you see the flower over on the left there? They like flowers there. Okay, next picture. What else? A lion, that's right. And this is by Roderick Traore, a young boy. So he drew a picture of a lion, and I hope he's not seeing any lions around his house because they're dangerous. And what else is important to him in the picture? Do you see anything else in that picture? What, Lucy? Another flower. I think they really like flowers. Okay, next picture. Do you have any more? I forget how many I've got here. Is that... That's it for the pictures? Okay, that's it for the pictures. Thank you. Okay, so I gave you one assignment, and you've all done it very well. You moved to where you could see the pictures. Now, I have another assignment. Who likes to draw? You like to draw? Very good. Do you think you would like to draw some pictures for the children whom we're going to see in Burkina Faso next month? Would you like to do that? And draw some pictures of things that are really important to you? Like, what would that be? Something really important to you that you care about. What would that be? Something you'd like to draw a picture of for a child in Burkina Faso. What would you like to draw a picture of? A heart. Okay, I think that would be great. I think they'd know what that means. Okay. Anybody else? What would you like to draw a picture of that tells people, children your age in Burkina Faso, that's important to you? Yeah? What?
A kitty.
A kitty. Okay. Well, I'm going to ask you to do that. I'm going to give you some paper even now, and I've got some crayons in my pocket. And when first we'll pray, and then you come get them, and feel free to draw some during this time. If that's okay with your folks, please make sure you keep the crayon on the paper and not on this, you know, don't draw on the seat, but on the paper. Okay? Let's pray, okay? Dear God, thank you for these children and for children all around the world. Each one of them is a gift from you. And we thank you, oh God, for them. And we pray that you would bless the love and the life that these children share here with you and children all around the world. Amen. Okay, come out to get a piece of paper and some crayons, and I'll hand them to you, and you can go back to your seat. There you go. The second, here's a piece of paper. And let's see. Let's give you something other than yellowish green for that. There we go. A couple of there. All right.
You're going to get one, okay? This will take just a moment here. Here we go. I'll give you one and that. Okay? And here's one for you. And if you want to put your name on, that would be great, I think, okay? All right. I'll give you one here. There you go. And you can bring this back to me either after the service or next Sunday. We'll get a whole collection of these. Okay. Just a second here. Dane. Okay, you can go back. It doesn't. Well, that's frustrating. I'm glad you already checked it. Let's trade. Let's see. Here you go. And here's the crayon. There you go. Actually, let's take these back to your pews right now, okay? I'm glad you're so eager to get started already. You want one? Oh, that's very good. I understand that. So your brother took it. Okay. Here we go. Here's the other one. And here's another crayon. A Dumbo heart. Great. Okay. And there we go. Thank you very much. Okay, you can all take these back to your seats now.
This may be a visual illustration of why we shouldn't take everything literally when they stay up here and start to draw. I'll be reading from Hebrews 2, 5 through 12, and I'm going to read from the message, so it'll look a little different than what you see up there. It'll sound a little different, too. God didn't put angels in charge of this business of salvation that we're dealing with here. It says in Scripture, "What is man and woman that you bother with them? Why take a second look their way? You made them not quite as high as angels, bright with Eden's dawn light. Then you put them in charge of your entire handcrafted world. When God put them in charge of everything, nothing was excluded. But we don't see it yet. Don't see everything under human jurisdiction. What we do see is Jesus, made not quite as high as angels, and then, through the experience of death, crowned so much higher than any angel with a glory bright with Eden's dawn light. In that death, by God's grace, he fully experienced death in every person's place." It makes a good sense that the God who got everything started and keeps everything going now completes the work by making the salvation pioneer perfect through suffering as he leads all these people to glory. Since the one who saves and those who are saved have a common origin, Jesus doesn't hesitate to treat them as family, saying, "I'll tell my good friends, my brothers and sisters, all I know about you. I'll join them in worship and praise to you." Matthew.
My words will focus on those last few verses about how the one who sanctifies us or makes us holy and the ones who are made holy are of the same family. And therefore, he, Christ, is not ashamed to call us brothers or sisters. A good word for World Communion Sunday today. But first let me ask, I'm sort of following up on the theme that I started last week. Let me ask if there are any people here currently in middle school or junior high. Any middle school, junior high students currently? And he went, "Oh, okay. Would you feel all right telling us what it is you like about middle school?" Joshua, right? Yeah. "Hey, would you like to tell us?" "No, no." "Okay. That's fine. Okay, we got one over here. Would you like to tell us what you like about middle school and then tell us maybe what you don't like about middle school?"
What do you like about?
I just like to do math because I am good at math and I like it. What I don't like is, I don't know what I don't like. I kind of like all of it. It's not one particular thing I don't like mostly. It's just all kind of nice. It's not that bad.
I'm glad to hear that. Is there anybody else here who ever was a middle school student? Oh, are there another middle school student over here? Oh, great. Would you like to tell us about what you like about middle school and what you don't like?
I like humanities, and I don't like PE.
And you don't like PE, okay. Okay, anyone want to tell us, think back to middle school, tell us what you did like about those years and what you did not like about those years? Anyone? Okay, Mary.
When I was in eighth grade, I was part of the journalism class, and I really liked that class. And then one of the things that I really liked is in March, that class got to go out to the beach for the weekend. And then what I didn't like about junior high, I liked school. I'm probably weird.
That's wonderful. I guess no one here went to the Toledo public school systems. Okay.
So I feel doubly qualified because I was a student and I was also a middle school teacher. And the same thing hit me in both places. I loved being in drama when I was in junior high. I loved teaching drama. I hated all the girl infighting. Do you guys know about girl infighting in junior high? Oh, my. There was girl infighting. I hated that as a student and I also hated that as a teacher.
Your experience matches that of my father and my stepmother, who retired a number of years back from teaching middle school. My dad was teaching instrumental music, band and orchestra. My stepmother was teaching English. And reflecting on that time, I think what they've said is that this is an age now where you can have intelligent, deep, logical conversations with young people who are just coming to make sense of the world and to think logically and to see through things as well as to see things. So you can have great conversations, deep conversations with them. And these things are new to them and they're excited about them. So that's one thing that they do like. My stepmom talks about these wonderful conversations about deep personal issues and philosophical things in the course of English class. Kids catch these things as they read at this age. What they didn't like was the very thing you talked about there. The cliquishness and cruelty that can happen, and it's not just girls, in middle school. And because it's partly because of what's happening. I brought two balls here with me this morning, and I was thinking I was going to juggle them both until I realized I need to hold on to a microphone, so I can't juggle with two, but you know, you're just at that point where you're starting to get a sense of yourself as a unique, distinct person with your own perception on the world and your own gifts and your own talents, and you're developing as a unique individual person and finding your identity and your dignity, and still you have to do that in relationship. You come from a family. The family's even given you life and your name. They still provide food and clothing and shelter and drive you around to music lessons or to soccer lessons and practice and things like that. So at the very time that you're developing your own unique personal identity and discovering who you are and are going through certain psychological and physiological changes that are all very, very intense, you're still in relationship, a relationship of dependency. And this struggle, this juggling act between relatedness and your individual self and developing all that will continue all through your life. And if you've got 30 years of doing that, 40 years, 60 years, you know, you kind of get the hang of it. But when you're just starting, it's tough, it's difficult, and it's all new. And the dilemma of this age was beautifully summed up in a book that Becky and I read when our daughters were this age that was entitled, Mom and Dad, Get Out of My Life. But first, will you take me and Cheryl to the mall? That's the impossible thing that we really juggle all throughout our lives. Connectedness and individuality are learning to be true to the self whom God is making us to be. And we got to do that in community. So in Africa, they would say, there's no me without we. And probably in Western culture, we'd say, there's no we without me. And which is true? It's a trick question. They both are. So that's our lifelong juggling act that we have. And it's difficult in the middle school years when we're just starting on this. And also at that time, that's when you realize that these people who gave you your name, who gave you your life, can be so drop-dead, downright clueless. You know, and then sometimes they're just wrong. Or they don't see things the way you're starting to see them. Now, also later what happens in life is this idealism where everything is really clearly black and white when you're a middle schooler because you're just now seized by these heroes and these ideas and these ideals in your life. Then later over time you start to realize, oh, my heroes have feet of clay, just like I do. And things don't often work out as simply as I thought they would when I was 13 years old. It's like Mark Twain said, when I was 14... my dad was the biggest fool I'd ever met in my life. And by the time I was 18, I was surprised at how smart he had become in just 4 years. So, again, those are the crises of middle school life. Now, why am I talking about middle school and that stage of life during on World Communion Sunday? And the reason why, part one of the reasons why, is that the world in which the church currently ministers and lives, but the whole worldwide church, is kind of like one big, giant, huge middle school. In some ways, it's a very exciting time, just like in middle school, it's exciting to discover, say, algebra. It's exciting to discover music. It's exciting to discover your favorite sport. It's exciting to discover a certain philosophy or ideology. There are exciting developments happening in the world in terms of medicine and energy and technology and communication. But all this progress does not necessarily mean that we are progressing in terms of character and relationships and wisdom. Sometimes these things are outstripping our wisdom. And so the conflicts in the world currently today are mostly over identity and dignity, with all sorts of identity groups, nationalities, tribal identities, classes, religions, all sorts of things, fighting in what seems like what is assumed to be a winner-take-all fight, tooth and nail, do or die for dignity and identity so that I and my group only get my dignity, our dignity and identity at the expense of yours. And your group can only have its dignity and identity at the expense of mine. And if your group gets ahead and over mine in terms of power, you get the political or power higher ground, then, well, at least maybe I can get the moral higher ground as victim. If I can't be the victor, then I must be the victim. And these are the identity conflicts that we're seeing not only today in politics that also invade the church in the U.S., but it's all over the world, whether it's Basques and Catalans wanting to separate from Spain, or French-speaking versus Dutch-speaking people in Belgium, or tribal conflicts in West Africa, or drug turf, gang turf fights in Central America. The world feels like one big giant middle school with this big crisis of dignity and identity that we can only think can come at each other's expense, as though there's only so much to go around. And one of the things that this means for the world church today is a rise in persecution. Even secular agencies like the United Nations are paying attention to the fact that the persecution of religious minorities, including and especially Christians in various other places, is rising to a level that we haven't heard about for a long time. You know, it's for some places it's like what you read about in the first centuries of the Christian era. And a lot of this has to do with that fight for dignity and identity. Because, say, if you are a Communist Party person in North Korea or China, if you are a radical Muslim jihadi activist in Somalia or Pakistan, or if you're a Hindu nationalist, you not only feel threatened by all these outside global forces in the economy and in the media and the markets coming in and challenging your identity, you've got these Christians in your midst. And are they loyal to our in-group identity as our tribal identity? I don't know. Can we really trust them if it comes to war? They have a savior who says, love your enemies. I don't know about this. And will they care more, you know, if it comes to a fight between our identity group and theirs, will they care more about the Christians and that other identity group than they do about us and our tribal identity? And so this is one of the reasons why persecution is growing all around the world of the world church, because of this hothouse middle school spirit around identity and dignity. Now, that's the bad news, but I won't stop there. The good news that we just heard from today's passage is that we don't have to worry about our dignity and identity, neither as simply human beings and not as Christians, because our dignity and identity, which we all need, we get to know this first in middle school. It becomes really important to us then, which we all need, which God made us for. I mean, we just know deep down that we were made for something more than just live, work, and die. That identity and dignity that we all crave is already assured to us, not by what we do, not by what we accomplish, not by what kind of power we gain over other people as either victors or victims. It's rather a dignity and an identity given to us by one eternal, unshakable force, God. We just heard in there about how, in the passage today from Hebrews 2, about how God has made us in His image and put all things in creation under our feet, making us, in a sense, God's viceroys on this planet to take care of this wonderful sanctuary called planet Earth, on God's behalf, for God's honor. That's a dignity that no one can take away, that no group has a monopoly upon. It's already there and guaranteed. But furthermore, if our faith is based in Christ, if we are hearing the call to follow Christ, then our dignity is also assured because of the dignity and identity that He shares with us. Is the one who is not ashamed to call us. Whatever our struggle, whatever our last name, whatever our color, whatever our tribal identity, whatever our culture, Christ we hear is not ashamed to call each one of us His brother and sister. And that is a dignity and an identity that we don't have to fight for, that we don't have to wrestle from somebody else. In fact, as we see the world church growing now, growing like someone going from 13 to 14 years of age now to become that worldwide church of people of every tribe, tongue, and nation, What we're saying is that this is an identity and a dignity whose power and value grows with the sharing. It's not diminished by that. So that's what I hope we remember in the sharing of the bread and the cup today. That this is an expression, yes, of Christ giving himself to us as bread of life, as food and drink. It's also an experience of Christ giving himself to us as bread of life and food and drink. It's an expression of Christ's solidarity and identification with us, sharing with us his dignity and destiny and identity. And it's also in the sharing together a symbol of the same dignity and identity and destiny with each other. Whatever the tribe, whatever the tongue, whatever the nation, whatever the culture. Amen? Please join me in prayer. Lord, in just a little bit, when we share the bread and the cup, we pray that, yes, this would be a sincere expression of our confidence and faith in you and all that you share with us, unshakable and eternal. We pray that it would also be an experience of your identification with us and sharing yourself with us. We pray as well that it would be an expression and an experience of all that we share with your worldwide body now and throughout all time. And so we would honor you, and so bless us. Amen. I see that the singing and the sharing actually come after now our time of sharing and prayer. And in just a little bit, we will be going to a time of prayer to prepare for communion. But before we do, let's discern what is in the body by way of our needs, our testimonies, our joys, cares, or concerns. So if you have anything or anyone whom you would like us to be praying for today, please raise your hand and I'll bring that around to include in our prayers in just a moment. Yes, free.
So back in the spring, I shared that my brother and his family were adopting a little boy, Matthew, who is 2, and a wonderful blessing and a very busy, busy little boy. But this fall, my brother actually, he was jumping off the back of a pickup or something and kind of tore up his knee pretty bad. And so when he was going to schedule surgery for it, and then he ended up getting a blood clot in his leg. So surgery had to be postponed because he's on blood thinners, and it's poor timing for the whole family because they're already going through this time of transition with Matthew, who they love dearly, but he is a very busy 2-year-old. And so now Gretchen, my sister-in-law, is not only, you know, taking care of another child, but now also kind of her husband as well. So if you could just keep them in your prayers and just help Gretchen have strength and patience and, yeah, quick healing for my brother. Tristan, yeah, he does not have a surgery date yet.
Thank you for Gretchen and Tristan. Oh, okay, Chris.
I just became aware last night on Facebook that Sharon Schneider, a retired teacher and local farming lady, is in the hospital after kind of an emergency heart surgery this week. So I would ask prayers on behalf of Sharon and her family. She's up at St. Vincent's, and the post last night said she may be in the hospital as long as a week while they monitor the process. But she had the surgery, and it went well.
Thank you. So praying on behalf of Sharon Schneider. Okay. If we could project the prayer litany next, please. In the spirit of Hebrews 2, this is how you will, one way that you will join me in prayer. And when I lead us to close a section with, "For these our brothers and sisters and yours we pray," then join me in saying, "For with them and with you, Lord, we have the same Father in heaven." And then we'll bring our prayers to close with the Lord's Prayer. And also have a time of silence to search our own hearts for anything that we might need to confess or resolve before we come to share the bread together. Please join me then in prayer now. For these, our brothers and sisters, and yours we pray. For with them and with you, Lord, we have the same Father in heaven. Beginning with ourselves and each other, Lord, we pray that you might reveal all that you would heal within us and among us, any root of bitterness, anything we love more than you and your kingdom, any fear or envy or resentment or regret. May your Spirit search our hearts now as we wait on you, that we might confess them and release them to you in this moment of silent prayer and reflection. And here and now, we offer ourselves as living sacrifices in lives led and empowered by your Spirit to honor you and all others with loving words and works. And so for these, our brothers and sisters and yours, we pray. For with them and with you, Lord, we have the same Father in heaven. May our joy increase, Lord, with the sharing as we thank you, Lord, and give praise for the blessings and the beauty of this life, of this world, of the love that brings us into the world and which carries us through it and beyond, for the joys, the pleasures that are extravagantly given above and beyond all that we simply need. Thank you as well, dear God, for the blessings that we ponder now, that we lift up to you in thankfulness in our hearts in this moment of silence. Hear our silent prayers of thankfulness and praise. For these things, for our brothers and sisters and yours, we pray. For with them and with you, Lord, we have the same Father in heaven. For those whose needs, burdens, and cares we know and share, we pray for them, such as for Bree's brother, Tristan, and his surgery, for Gretchen, and their child, Matthew, that you would sustain them and carry them through this difficult time. And indeed, O God, grant that Tristan may soon have that surgery that he needs. And Lord, for Sharon Schneider and for her family, bless her recovery and make this time of waiting and recovery sweet and fruitful for her, O Lord, and bless her family as well. And Lord, others among us whose needs we know, we lift them up to you in silence now. Any others whose burdens or cares we know of, hear us as we pray for them. For these, our brothers and sisters, and yours, we pray. For with them and with you, Lord, we have the same Father in heaven. We lift up to you the sufferings of our brothers and sisters here and around the world who face poverty, persecution, conflict, and corruption, as well as the temptations and distractions of prosperity and affluence that cool our first love for you. Be, Lord, home for the homeless within our cities, within our borders and around the world, and show us how we can be your loving, welcoming arms. Bless, empower, and protect our partners who are also addressing desperate needs, who are sharing the gospel, who are sharing the love and the life of Christ, such as at Vida Feliz in Bolivia, among the Cora people of Mexico, in Burkina Faso, and among others who are insecure even now about food, about housing, about dignity, in this community even. And let not, Lord, the idols of power, privilege, ideology, nor identity come between us. For these, our brothers and sisters, and yours we pray. For with them and with you, Lord, we have the same Father in heaven. And for those who cannot be with us today, because of illness or work, travel or infirmity, we pray that your Spirit might unite them with us in the common bond of love. For it is not only the bread and the cup that express and reinforce our union with you and with each other. It is the sharing of the bread and cup that also do this. And not only of this bread and this cup and this sanctuary, but the bread of our labors, of our time, our support, encouragement, hospitality, and accountability to each other. For this and more we pray, with your brothers and sisters and ours, here in all times and places, as we pray in your very own words, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please turn in your blue hymnal to number 311. 311, The Church's One Foundation. We'll sing verses 1, 2, 4, and 5.
The Church's One Foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died.
A few more words about the service of communion to which all baptized believers in Christ are invited, whatever your church membership, all who are seeking to live in love and harmony with God and with creation and their fellow humans are welcome to come here and share the table as an expression and an experience of our solidarity through God's Spirit with Christ and each other and His identification with us as well. We have, in keeping with this Sunday, we have three kinds of bread here, sort of the normal bread that we eat, but also two things from elsewhere around the world that the church sometimes uses in place of bread, their form of bread. And that would be corn tortillas for much of Latin America, and then Ethiopian injera, made from teff. And those are also gluten-free options, or if you simply want to partake of them for the experience, you certainly are welcome too. I think Pat will be on this side here with the injera and the tortillas, and I'll be here with the bread. And if you simply wish to come forward, not having made that step of faith, to simply express and experience your desire to follow Christ someday in membership, you're welcome to come forward. You also, just for a word of blessing and or a grape as a promissory note of what is yet to come. And since we want everyone to be able to partake of this, and we're not having a choir singing or a piano playing during the time, we'll have some music from around the world, the Christian world also played, something in Spanish, Con qué pagaremos, with what can I pay? Also, the Lord's Prayer in Swahili you'll hear, and also O Power of Love, sung by a Russian choir too. So this will give us, as well as something from the African-American tradition. Now I invite the elders to come forward with me to help in the sharing now of the bread and the cup during this time. Actually, I see that it is all tortillas and injera. I'm like, okay, very good. So let's see. Then we will simply do as Jesus would have done, were he instituting the cup in Mexico. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, he blessed it, and he broke it, saying, "This is my body, which is broken for you." Likewise, after the supper, he took the cup and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. Whenever you do this," he went on to say, "do this in remembrance of me." He also said that "I will not partake of this cup until I drink it with you in the kingdom of heaven." Saying that then tells us that in this time of sharing the bread and the cup, we are looking back to the giving of his life. We are looking at the present and each other, to the sharing of his life and love and spirit. And we are also looking forward to the wedding feast of the Lamb. Please join me again in prayer. Lord, it is not our worthiness that makes it possible for us to receive you. Only say the word and we shall be healed. But Lord, it is your worthiness, your merits, your giving that make the sharing of your life and love so possible. And we pray that as we do this, drawing towards the end of the day worldwide, that your church has been doing this. Grant that it might be again, an experience of an expression of solidarity to encourage our identification with you and your church, including that part of the church which must do this ceremony in secret for fear of others. Grant, O God, that the health and strength of this part of your body might minister to those parts that suffer, and likewise might learn from those parts that suffer, that we again might know the unity of your Spirit, we pray. In that name above all names, given to us as bread of life. Amen. You may come forward as you are ready.
no puedo pagarte con oro ni plata el gran sacrificio que hiciste por mí. No tengo que darte por tanto amarme. Recibe este canto mezclado con llanto y mi corazón. Recibe este canto mezclado con llanto.
Lord, what we have shown, what we have said, what we have felt, what we have shared, O Lord, in declaration of our union with you and each other and of yours with us as our bread of life, as life-giving drink, we pray, O Lord, that it would also be shown and shared in our daily lives, not just on Sunday, but Monday through Saturday as well. And that each day, Lord, we would feast on your presence, sustaining, blessing, and empowering us. This we pray in that name above all names. Amen.
Please stand for the sending song and remain standing for the benediction. 425 in the blue hymnal. 425.
Come, come, ye saints, no toil nor labor fear, but with joy wend your way. Though hard to you,
And a final blessing, both in Spanish and in English. Que el Señor te bendiga y te proteja. Que el Señor sonría sobre ti y sea compasivo contigo. Que el Señor te muestre su favor y te dé su paz. God bless you and keep you. God smile on you and gift you. God look you full in the face and make you prosper. Go in peace.